So now I'm going to skim through a couple of Chronicle articles caught my eye from yesterday and today. Yesterday in the Bay Area section of the Chronicle, there's a story, City's virus plan breaks down for homeless. Shifting proposals make finding shelter difficult, or maybe shifty proposers or shifty politicians make finding shelter impossible. This is a Heather Knight story. Here's a couple of selections from it. She says the City Hall is not offering a coherent vision when it comes to homeless people. City officials have told residents of one of the supportive shelters to keep the boss of the shelter told them to keep his residents 6 feet apart, but not kick anybody out, which is an impossibility in a tiny packed shelter. So skipping through the article, San Francisco's has crowded shelters which aren't accepting people off the waiting list. On Tuesday afternoon, 1,097 people were on the waiting list they can't get off of, and many of them were over the age of 60. Now, this may sound a little at cross purposes to what I've been saying, which is, namely, it doesn't help for Santa Cruz to pack people into crowded shelters, even though it gets them off the street, because in a pandemic, it makes them more likely to get sick. So what you obviously need are hotel rooms and segregated quarters and segregated bathrooms and so forth. And I believe that's necessary, and that's why we are, some of us, planning to do this protest on Sunday and try to pressure, or who knows, open up areas where people can actually go. And in fact, this afternoon I got a call from Santa Barbara activist Peter Marin wondering just what the what's going on with the FEMA funding and the Newsom's proposal for funding for hotel rooms, how much of it is being spent, how many people are inside. And this is the same question that I said that Phil Posner has to understand the city and the county are not answering, and therefore we don't want to wait until they decide that they'll give us an answer or cook up something later before we demand and start putting pressure on them in a very visible, loud way, which is what a car protest on Sunday at 2 o'clock Easter Sunday would be. Probably a very Christian way to celebrate Easter Sunday. Anyway, continuing with the Chronicle article, instead of getting inside, many of them are filling the sidewalks of the Tenderloin. There's still no real plan to ensure homeless people get inside for their own safety and the safety of the wider community, though I would add that that's the option to get inside, not compulsory quarantine, unless you're talking about people who actually are shown to be sick and require quarantine. The temptation to treat homeless people as vermin or some kind of dangerous menace per se is sort of always hovering in the minds, I think, of bureaucrats and also in the minds of the people who are pushing the reactionary politicians to keep the homeless out of their neighborhoods, off their streets, out of their towns, out of their city, out of their states. It's kind of the way Okies were treated trying to come into California in the 30s. I guess it's a kind of class guilt, really. That's how I see it. They just can't stand to see a hungry face when they're eating a nice warm meal. So again, according to this article, San Francisco has a two-pronged strategy, one for people who have housing and one for people who don't, which is wrong. So their current proposal is, according to Trent Rover, director of the Human Services Agency, to convert the Moscone Center, which is a big building in downtown San Francisco, into three pods of 200 people apiece, depending on whether they suffer from serious drug addictions, mental health problems, or physical health problems. And these are the old phony categories of defining homeless people instead of looking at the real causes, which have to do mostly with economic factors. The fact that jobs are lost, that rents are spiraling, that domestic abuse is forcing people onto the streets. Instead, it's so much easier to say, oh, they're drug addicted. Oh, they're mentally ill. Oh, they just have some physical health problems. Of course, medical bills also drive people onto the streets. But it's much easier to ignore those underlying problems if instead you start treating it as a medical problem, a physical health problem, a drug addiction problem. Anyway, the proposal to segregate this Moscone Center into these three pods includes each person would have a space measuring 100 square feet to themselves with access to showers, bathrooms, and food, which doesn't sounds better than being outside without it. But then, of course, this was scaled down to 395 people from the 600 people. And when an ad, then a newspaper, The Street Sheet, which I folks in Huff have sold, that's my organization, the one I work with, when the Coalition on Homelessness, which publishes it, published leaked photos of the site over the weekend, it was clear it was far from ideal and looked nothing like the picture that the director, Trent Rohrer, had painted. In fact, it looked downright scary. Mats, not beds, were placed on the hard floor close together, kind of like the way the armory was before they had the tents, and perhaps like the Laurel Street shelter was before they started to thin it out slightly. Although, again, inside, indoors, everyone breathing the same air. No, doesn't work. Rows and rows, continue the story of San Francisco, pathetic-looking mats interspersed with folding chairs. A homeless man who stays at the Sanctuary shelter in the south of Market District said city staff visited Monday morning asking for people to volunteer to move to that big center that I just mentioned that was triaged into those three different categories. Everyone refused. It's insulting, this thing of us getting a mattress on the floor and a chair to divide the mattresses. That was how they were segregating it. You're on the floor, which means every time you want to do something, you're getting up and down off the floor. Imagine being an old person having to do that. Your stuff is not protected, and stuff gets stolen all the time. By Monday afternoon, Reuter announced Moscone would not be used to thin the population of other shelters, and would instead take in homeless people who've recovered from COVID-19. So they're turning it into an emergency, a lie on the floor as you recover from COVID-19 center. A fine way of treating folks, of course. Another switcheroo, Bay Club, San Francisco Tenants, and the Palace of Fine Arts were both announced as shelters to thin the population at other shelters, but now are on hold because of Moscone-like concerns about, get this, large congregate shelters being inappropriate. Their use hasn't been determined. She said that NIMBY messages from the, this is this woman Cohen who's being cited here, Emily Cohen, spokeswoman for the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. She said that NIMBY messages from Marina residents posted on Nextdoor and elsewhere about the Palace of Fine Arts didn't have a role in shutting down the project one day after it was announced. Just as predictable as City Hall dithering on homelessness as San Francisco neighbors turning nasty if a shelter is proposed near them. Marina residents were talking about suing the city to block the shelter and recalling Supervisor Catherine Stefani, shades of Glover and Crone, for supporting it. Now the plan is to remove people from the shelter and the streets who are over 60 and have underlying health conditions into vacant hotel rooms. There still isn't much of a plan for younger, healthier homeless people, other than outreach workers telling them to try to space their tents 6 feet apart. And the next day in the Chronicle, on the front page, this was on the back page, the interior pages, the Bay Area section on the 8th, but on the 9th there's a story that reads, "Surge delayed as is moving of homeless inside." This week is crunch time for the worst-hit Bay Area counties to ramp up efforts to bring vulnerable and infected homeless people into hotels and overflow shelters during the coronavirus crisis. And the verdict is, so far, so good, generally. That's according to Kevin Fagan, who I don't know if I have a lot of confidence in. From Santa Clara County to Alameda and San Francisco counties, thousands of hotel rooms and temporary shelters are coming online thanks to a delay in the surge of COVID-19 cases that health experts had expected to begin statewide around now. They are nowhere near full yet. Advocates in San Francisco, however, say that's because authorities are moving too slowly in bringing homeless people into their rooms and that they need to escalate their efforts. But program planners around the region say they need to move methodically, that means slowly, it's kind of like the county here is doing, and leave some room for that surge, maybe with Surge running the program. That's Serge Cagno. Goodness. Sorry, I had to throw in a pun there for all of you folks who have been following these broadcasts. I don't have a lot of regard for the practices of Serge and Rafa, who are going along with the city in essentially silently colluding with and assisting a program that involves moving people into these mass shelters. It seems that the mitigation steps we all put into place, this Chronicle article continues, about physical distancing are having a positive effect. It brought a little breathing room, says Kai Lee, who runs the coronavirus homeless sheltering effort in Santa Clara County. No idea. Newsom said Tuesday that in anticipation of that surge, he wants about half of the state's 108,000 unsheltered homeless people put into properly spaced shelters, trailers, or hotel rooms. The counties and cities are generating the bulk of these spaces with the help of $850 million in state homeless funding, and Newsom has set an additional goal of state-funded hotel rooms at 15,000. So far, he's secured more than 7,600 of them, but I haven't yet heard of one where there's actually, that is being used here in the city of Santa Cruz, although there were hotel rooms that Keith McKinney was able to purchase, purportedly through sale of a piece of property and through donations from an award he got as well. But that lasted for 3 or 4 days. And also the people that were put in from Lot 17 who were moved essentially under threat of force from the post office area where they were encamped on the sidewalk. They were shoveled off to Lot 17 and then put into motel rooms for a week and then dumped outside again. So again, going back to Newsom's 108,000 unsheltered homeless people to be put into these hotel rooms, space shelters, or trailers, he says the homeless people must be vulnerable by age and underlying conditions, have been exposed to the coronavirus, or actually have the disease. And this is one of the problems. The priorities that the city, I should say the county has, and that Phil Posner read about earlier, if you're listening to that part of the broadcast, begin with people who actually are recovering from the disease or who have been tested positive for the disease, or have been exposed to the disease. So they don't involve actually trying to stop people from getting the virus before that happens by putting them in the motel rooms to begin with. And that is the purpose of all of us being indoors. We aren't indoors because we're sick. We aren't indoors because we're quarantined if we're housed. We're indoors in order to stop this from spreading. And yet, this is not being done for homeless people in Santa Cruz because of people who are either stingy with their money, or maybe they think they're being, you know, prudent, penny wise and pound foolish, I would say, by saying, well, let's just wait and hold this money off for later, after which it really won't make much difference because you'll have allowed this virus to spread. Now, of course, there's some who say it already has spread, and therefore this is a, in fact, I've wondered about this myself. But if you're going to act on this basis that everybody should be walled up in their homes and kept away from all kinds of public places, even if they're properly 6 feet apart each, as the county is doing for the city parks and the county parks and beaches for the next week, then surely you want to do something, at least make such options available to homeless people. And of course, that's not being done. It's being suggested it might be done, but the priorities as they describe them are not for the general homeless population, but primarily to begin with for people. It's a quarantine situation for people who actually have the illness. And so I will leave that there, though there's more to these articles, and you might want to read them over online if you want to find them on April 8th and April 9th Chronicle. In the meantime, it's time for a quick musical break before I dash to put together the rest of this show in a bit of a hurry because I'm having my usual technical difficulties.
There's a suspension on eviction, so stick to your convictions and don't pay the rent. If at home we have to stay, then most of us can't pay, so don't pay the rent. Tell your landlord, sir, that mortgage can defer. Don't pay the rent. If they start rattling their sabers, say I need to feed my neighbors, and don't pay the rent. It's time now to demand one big union grand. Don't pay the rent. Neoliberalism is dead. It's time to raise your head and don't pay the rent. Strike for the guarantee, a home for everybody. Don't pay the rent. Running water, housing, healthcare all across this earth we share, yeah. Don't pay the rent. Capitalism has failed, put the billionaires in jail. Don't pay the rent. We need a new world now, and let me tell you how. Don't pay the rent. With mutual aid, a new world can be made. Don't pay the rent. From the ashes of the old, if we stop doing what we're told, and don't pay the rent. Solidarity with society. Don't pay the rent. Our lives matter a lot. The landlord's profits do not. Don't pay the rent. We can redefine what is theirs and ours and mine if we don't pay the rent. There's a suspension on evictions, so stick to your convictions and don't pay the rent.
And that was David Rovick's Rent Eviction song. I liked it. One of his songs for today.